Tell me about the summer. How are things going?
On a personal level?
Both, yeah.
Oh, personally, yeah, things are going good. I've been out here in Kelowna, same old, working out, working on the golf game a little bit. A couple of trips, went down to San Diego, Vegas once. So, I don't know, typical summer, I guess. Yeah, and then CBA-wise, we got some work to do, but we're working hard at it. And yeah, I can't complain about the summer, I guess.
Tell me about these meetings over the last couple of days. The 38 players in Kelowna, you got a chance to kind of meet Donald Fehr face-to-face. He's a guy that's been on the sports radar for a lot of years. You will remember just like me when, you know, the work stoppage in Major League Baseball and all of that. What was your impression?
Well, I had met Donald a couple times before when we were thinking about hiring him, and then when we first hired him, I was in Toronto for a couple of meetings, and I was on the competition committee for about a year or so. So I'd been around him a little bit before, so it wasn't my first experience. But, you know, he's very intelligent, and I think we made the right move by hiring him, just in that, you know, our union was no secret that it was a little bit of a mess, and that we had all kinds of things going on with guys reading, you know, emails and all kinds of things going on. It was just kind of a mess. So, I mean, I think he was the most qualified guy on the planet to get in there. So it was good, and I mean, he's a very calming influence. You know, he's extremely intelligent. He's been through all this stuff before. So I think, by and large, I mean, I think I can speak for the guys in the room, and that guys that would have first met him, I think, would have been impressed. And he's definitely the right guy for the job.
Mike, talk about that. You were around in 04, and you went through the lockout and all that kind of stuff. How is Donald Fehr different from Bob Goodnow? That's what I'm getting people asking me, is like, how is it different this time than 8 years ago? Is he more militant? Is the situation different? Can you kind of put it into perspective for the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I can try. I mean, I'm in a different situation this year than I was 8 years ago also, you know, to be fair. And, you know, I hadn't had as much experience in the NHL, and I'd spent a lot of time in the minors. And I told Don this, and I told the rest of the guys this. You know, the difference for me now is I think moving forward is I think that he's going to keep us all a lot more informed. I mean, I think last year or last time, last lockout, anyways, in my situation, it just felt like, you know, the lockout hit. I was in Calgary. I was there for a week, and then I'm trying to figure out, you know, what I'm going to do. I know I need to play, and I still want to play. I want to go somewhere and play. Hopefully, the lockout doesn't happen, but. You know, once I did, you know, I was in Lowell, Massachusetts with Calgary's farm team, and it just felt like, to me anyways, that we were all out on an island, that, you know, that we didn't know what was going on, and it just kind of felt like maybe we weren't, you know, our point of view wasn't being represented, and that's not a very good feeling. Whereas this time, I think that the communication is going to be a lot more open. I wouldn't describe, I know, you know, some people think that, you know, maybe that we hired Donald Fehr to, you know, in preparation to go to war, but it's not like that at all. I mean, we just want a fair deal, and I don't. I mean, in describing Donald Fehr, I wouldn't put militant anywhere near to the top of the list. I mean, I think he's very easy to talk to. He's very open to ideas. I mean, he's well aware that, you know, we don't work for him. He's working for us, and he has our best interest in mind.
How does it work in terms of? You know, do you figure, I know the line's kind of broke 7 years ago. How are you in terms of a hard line, unified front? Because you're out there in Cologne. I mean, there's you, a guy that's, you know, looking to play somewhere, you know, hoping for an opportunity, and Shea Weber, who just signed for a $100 gajillion. It's a different situation.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they were reversed.
or meet in the middle.
But, yeah, I mean, the middle would be nice. Yeah, you know, I mean, good for Shea, first of all. I mean, that's great. I mean, the fact that, you know, that's offered, and then, you know, a few days later or whatever, they want to put a five-year limit on contracts is a little weird. But, no, I mean, I think everybody's unified. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to, you know, that, you know, his situation is different from mine, or his situation is different from some of the other guys that have maybe only played a year or two in the league. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, and some guys are going to miss paychecks more than others. But, I mean, I think it's important to try and look at the bigger picture, and we need to make sure that that's where I think the communication is huge, where, you know, if I end up, let's say, in the American Hockey League, and I'm this year playing, if there is a lockout, and I'm down there playing, I mean, I want to know what's going on. I don't want to be there sitting at around and not knowing what's going on and feeling that how I feel and what I think needs to be done isn't at least being heard. I mean, I don't know everything, but at least being heard and that, you know, I'm not being looked at or, you know, looked after a little bit by the head of our union and the guys that are in the meetings. And I just think it's a way better situation than it was a few years ago.
Former Flames Stanley Cup champion Mike Commodore, our guest. It was interesting because, you know, your counter proposal, if you want to, you know, put that or the way you guys view the rule or the world, was rejected. So here we are at a bit of a stalemate. More talk scheduled today. Meanwhile, Scotty Hartnell, who we had on the show yesterday, signs a 6-year deal. The same group of owners that want to cap deals at 5. It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. It seems hypocritical. Does it boggle your mind? I mean, where do you come in on this when you are seeing contracts like this right in the middle of a negotiation?
Yeah, to be honest, I really don't know what to think. You know, I read reports that, you know, the Oilers are, you know, in negotiations with Taylor Hall and Jordan Eberle, and I just don't understand. I mean, I guess something's lost on me, I guess. I mean, I don't understand, you know, you hear the report, we need to take $450 million per year from the players, and we want nothing more than 5-year contracts. Everything's, all the pay is the same in every year, and, you know, there are all these problems that they claim to have, and then there's guys signing contracts left and right, and people are going to go, I don't understand. To be honest, I was thinking about this last night, too, and, I mean, I'll just be honest, I don't have the answer. I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, I know Ed Snyder's one of the guys that's one of the head guys, one of the head owners, and, you know, in the last 10 days, 2 weeks, he signed 2 guys to 6-year deals. And, you know, and that's not to mention the offer sheet that he tried with Shea Weber. So I just don't get it. I mean, I just don't understand. I guess it leads me to be a little bit more skeptical about the offer that they gave us and what they think is exactly wrong.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people in this country right now, I mean, you have trust, you have faith. You guys want to play. We want you to play. So good luck with everything. Thanks for the perspective, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, anytime.